do you do when God has you or allows things in your life to go crazy? How do you get through that?
You go crazy with it.
Well, that's not the optimal thing, but, you know, sometimes we think, okay, God, you know, what did I do that's so wrong? There's rapists out there, there's murderers, there's this, there's that, and I'm having to go through all this and all this sickness and all this death and this and that. Why? What is God doing? What do you perceive that God is doing, and how can you get closer to God at these times? So, I, of all people, have one of my worst things is self-pity. When I start thinking about deaths and things that have happened that you don't plan on, you know, you plan on living and spending the rest of your life with somebody when that's taken away, and then my family, and then this, and you know, the list goes on and on. Self-pity is not an attractive sin at all, because when I get into my self-pity, I start doubting that God loves me, that I'm doing something that God's punishing me for. You know, I saw Isabella the other night for her birthday. She turned 11. And as much as I love her, I can't imagine anything that she would do that I would want to really punish and see her go through some kind of a terrible state of mind or a terrible state of illness or anything. God does not deal with us that way. In the Old Testament, I think they did, because they didn't have Jesus' blood to take over for us. You know, back then, you were smited. I mean, people, it was rough back then. But now that we have Jesus Christ's blood that has covered our sin, we can ask God for forgiveness, repent, and be obedient. Okay, so during these times, of these rough times, number one, you've got to realize that God's not trying to punish you. He's not trying to torture you. He's not trying to make you feel so uncomfortable that you want to give up and have unbelief. These are times that God teaches us things. Sometimes it just seems like I can't take anymore. But right when you start feeling that, it seems like the winds change and God's right there stepping up. At those times, we need to focus more on our blessings, what God has done for us. We are a society that wants things, and we want things right now. We are in a society where we pretty much can do that. You know, slap something in the microwave, look something up on Google, whatever it is. We need to learn self-control. We need to learn self-discipline. We need to learn that God's will is not always our will. We've got to learn patience. We've got to understand that what God is teaching us, even when we get ourselves in the worst messes, God can turn it around for our good. So what do we do during these times? Okay, first of all, realize that God, like I said, is not torturing you. He is not trying to put things on you to make you have unbelief. What we need to do is pray. That's the first thing you want to do is pray. Communication with the Lord. Do not ever break that communication with God. And then we want to get into the Word. We want to listen to praise music. We want to surround our things with praises, with holy things to help us and to guard our hearts and to guard our minds. We don't want to give any space for the enemy. The enemy knows your weakness, okay? And you know what? Satan is very patient. Like I've used this over and over and over about infidelity. You know, you start arguing, the bills are mounting, things are going bad at home. You feel like your mate takes you for granted. I'm just going through what David and I went through. You know, it's terrible when you have to go up and go, do I look pretty today? I really fixed up. Do you really love me? You know, women don't want to have to ask, okay? They want someone to be loving and kind and supportive and go, you really look nice today. I really love you. Things that were when I first met you, and now I even love you more. we want to hear that reassurance because we have an emotional status about us. Everything is emotionally driven. Men are more logical. They want to look at things, you know, scientifically, logically. You know, and David would go, why would you think I don't like you? I go to work every day for you. Oh, you would go to work every day even if I wasn't here. Don't give me a Whitmore.
I've heard that, yeah.
We go around and around about that. You would have a job too if I wasn't here. Don't even. The enemy will set in and he sees those little cracks. And then you're out in the public and some gentleman comes up and goes, you have the prettiest smile. Well, aren't you just so attractive? Or the woman will go, oh, I wish my husband had that sense of humor. Oh, I wish my husband could make me laugh. I wish my husband would tell me I look cute like you do to your wife. And then it starts to snowball. Pretty soon, the things that you thought you would never have thoughts of, you're having thoughts of. This person gets me emotionally. So you can have an emotional affair with somebody without being intimate. And that, by that I mean sexually. You know, with women, the intimacy, that excitement, that, okay, this person really gets me. But trust me, the grass is not greener on the other side. I have picked people more and more like David Whitmore than I have anybody else. You know, the people that aren't that romantic, I should say, or whatever. Or I don't know. I feel like if I put a lot into something, I expect that person to put it back into me. And that's where women screw up, because we cannot have expectations of our spouses. Oh yes, we expect them not to cheat. We expect them to come home and not go out and drink every night, stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Expectations of, you know, we were married over 30 years, that my expectation would please still sweep me off my feet. We can't have those expectations because people will let you down all the time. Your kids will let you down.
And if you did that, you would fall.
Yeah, well, that would be okay. It'd be a good fall if it was in his arm. You're such a little turkey.
You don't know what that means.
Anyway, you know, we have expectations out of our kids. We have expectations of all these people, and they're going to let us down. They're absolutely going to let us down. God will take any situation that you're going through right now, as bad as it is, as torturous it may seem, as just terrible in your mind, and can make something good out of it. What do we have to do to get through these times? Number one, like I said, we pray. We get in the Word. We listen to praise songs. We don't put ourselves into climates that will bring us into another situation of not need to be in. Like, don't go out with your buds and go drinking and, you know, these people, or they're smoking pot. Well, that's okay, you know. Don't put yourself in these places where you can be tempted. You've got to be strong. You need your Christian friends around you. You know, when we look in the Bible of people, Joseph certainly didn't think he was going to have to go through all the stuff he went through. You know, that wasn't on his plan. Daniel didn't think he was going to have to go through all the stuff he went through. That wasn't in his plan. But whatever is going on, God can turn it around. But we've got to give God the glory for it, okay? We've got to get in that intimacy with the Lord that we are here to glorify God, okay? That's what we're here for. We're to glorify and praise Him and to be disciples for Him. But how can we do that when things are... the army's falling apart. We have a broken society. We have broken down communication in our schools, in our workplace, with our bill collectors. I mean, we have all these broken things around us. But God can mend and put us back together. I mean, you know, He can. That's what He does. He is a healer of broken hearts. He's here for us to show us that He loves us, that He wants us to know that whatever we're going through, that He has the answer. Like I said, God looks at us when we are in our mother's womb all the way to the day we die. He knows what's going to happen. He sees what's going to happen. He knows how you're going to react. And a lot of it, if we've been Christians a long time, he does look at the things of how we react. Things that used to really just put you under and make you just feel defeated and crying and upset and woe is me. As we become more and more years of being a Christian, should not affect us like it did back then when we first got saved. We have to mature in our Christianity. We have to get to where we think, okay, this is going on, but you know what? God's got me. God's supporting me. God loves me. I have to believe that he's going to help me. God is with me. I mean, who can put us under? Nobody. Nobody. God brings me that peace that I need. God gives me the support I need. God is the answer always. And you think, well, okay, I've really tried. Priest, I really have tried. I've prayed. Okay, well, just praying and not like Pastor talks about showing fruit. We should all be showing some fruit. And by that way, I mean, I love watermelon. I'm not talking about watermelon. I'm talking about in your Christian walk, you can see it. Other people can see the things that you're growing in, the things of how you're handling things, the discipleship that you have, the courage that you have. You know, we need to have a courageous heart like David did. I can bring this giant down, no problem. I can do this. Oh, you cannot. You can't even wear the armor. It's weighing you down. I can do this. That's the attitude we need to have. You know what, God? I can do this. Because you love me, you created me, and you have an answer to all of my problems. You are the solution. You are the answer. And I love you for it. But help me not to give up. Help me not to give up, Lord. Help me not to get in that state. Because when you get down on that, people really don't want to get around you that much. They don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear, oh my gosh, what was me? They, you know, it's like a turnoff. I'm like, okay, stop. Let God resolve your problem and get through it. You know, we've got to set a good example everywhere because, let me tell you, the world is out looking at Christians to try to find holes and loopholes in our society that we profess as being a Christian. They are looking to say, oh, you say you're a Christian, you're a hypocrite, blah, 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 blah. They are just looking, wanting to see, wanting us to fail. You know, they're expecting us to fail. And we have got to stand above this and be in such an intimacy with the Lord that we go, you know what, God? This is tough right now. I don't like what's going on right now, but I know you have my back. I know you love me. I know Jesus has been where I'm standing right now. And I know that God's going to get the glory out of this. But you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to trust. You're going to have to get in a place to where you know without a doubt that God's going to take care of you. That this is, excuse me, I'm so nauseated. This is a place of knowing that God's going to work this out. I got to give this to God. If you have to get up every morning and turn things over to God and lay them at his feet, by all means, do it. Do it. You know, so many times we pray, okay, God, I'm giving you this problem. I'm laying it right here at the altar. Okay. The next day we're worrying about it or we're trying to figure it out for God. You know, Lord, if you'll just do this, I can do that. And then if I have this money or if I have this car or if I have this relationship, then everything will work out. So if you can just do that, and God's laughing. He goes, I don't need your help, okay? Of all people, I don't need your help, Miss Lillian. I've got this covered. I don't need you to tell me what to do because I know what's best for you. And that's how we teach our children when they're little. Do not cross the street unless I am with you. Do not do this unless I'm with you. We teach them, I'm here for you. I'm watching you. I love you, and I'll always be there for you. That's how we have to look at our kids, and they grow up with that. I am so blessed. I have got five kids that truly love me. you know, when they wanted me to sell the house and move to this place where, you know, everybody's 80 and over and this and that, and my neighbor texted me that's over there on Stanley, and she said things have really gotten bad over here. She said the people live next to me, she went, they're openly selling drugs, they're breaking into the houses in the neighborhood, they're doing all this stuff, and she said, and the police aren't doing anything about it. Well, of course Dallas is not, until, you know, there's bloodshed somewhere. But it just reaffirmed that, you know what, I got out right when God needed me to get out. This is my apartment. I love my apartment now. Yes, life is difficult at times because there's so many changes, but I'm so glad that I sold the house when I did. I would not want to be in that predicament. I would not want to be near drugging, even though we were. And I can't believe they're doing it because he lost one son by drugs, and now they're doing drugs again over there. I mean, yeah, it's quick, it's easy, I'm sure. But you're dealing with people that are, I say, beneath us. I'm not trying to judge them, but, you know, they don't have the same morals as we do. It's a quick buck. You get the dealer, okay, you get the product, you sell it. I'm acting like I know how to do drugs. You sell it, you give them their cut back, and you got money in your pocket. That's what they were brought up with, and that's what they're still doing. So whatever you were brought up with, most likely you're doing the same thing. We don't always know what God's plans are for us, but he's not there to hurt us. He's there to prosper us. He's there to give us a purpose for our life and our plan. If we look back, there are times that probably at least one incident in all of our lives, we could have been dead for sure. But God protected us. We are here for a reason. But if you're here just to come and sit and be fed and feel real ooey-gooey, which you should when your pastor preaches, I'm not saying anything about him, but if you're trying to get your sin stroked on Sundays or, oh, okay, oh, yeah, this is so good, and not contribute back into the church, you're coming to church for the wrong reason. Don't get your sin stroked by coming and picking things out of the sermon or Sunday school or the music just to justify why you're doing things. You've got to be a contributor also. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you have to talk to God. God will lead you into things. You will get that gut feeling. You will get, I get goosebumps when the Holy Spirit wants me to do something. I don't know how he does with y'all. But it's just something that comes to my mind, and I can't. You've got to go there and talk to him. You've got to go there and talk to him. You've got to go there and talk to him. That's just how he does with me. He may want you to give somebody money or something, but this is what he does with me. You've got to go tell them about me. You've got to go talk to that person. And I'm kicking and fighting and throwing my arms up the whole way. But when God just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, and goes, yes, I'm going to obey you. I am going to obey you. I don't care if they laugh at me, if they reject me. I'm going to do it because you told me to, God. And it usually, 90% of the time, works out. If we start doing things on our own, sometimes we get a self-righteous and prideful spirit. And David experienced this too. He would get bonuses during the year. That's how he paid off my truck, by getting bonuses. And he told me one time, he goes, I'm doing so good at work. I'm making these calls. These people are sending me money, and I'm making all these bonuses. And God really, really convicted of him. He went, you wouldn't be getting anything if it wasn't for me, Dave Ross. And David, really, he felt so bad. He went, it wasn't me. It wasn't because I was so wonderful on the phone talking to debtors. It was because of the Holy Spirit and what God touched me to do. He's the one that gave me the bonuses. He's the one that helped me with the phone calls. We can't get that prideful either. We have to be humble. We have to be brave. We have to be forgiving. If you have any forgiveness in your life, it's not hurting the other people that you're not forgiving, it's hurting your relationship with the Lord. Okay? It's putting a block, a wall up between you and God. Like Pastor said, well, this is just your day today, isn't it, Pastor? How many times do I forgive this person? 70 times 7. You've got to forgive people, even though they hurt you to the core. And you just, I wish they would suffer. I wish they would get what they got, what they did to me, or I wish they blah, 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 blah. You've got to have forgiveness. Are you going to feel, oh, I forgive you. Oh, let me cook you dinner. No. If you have to get forgiveness through God's eyes, that's what you do. You have to make these steps to get closer to God. You want to keep the communications open with God all the time. All the time. All the time. Did I say all the time? Yes. You've got to keep those communications open. You have to forgive people that hurt you. And it hurts. But I have a friend, a dear friend. She cannot get over some stuff. And she will bring it up all the time and go, well, they shouldn't have done this. They shouldn't. You're only hurting yourself. Can't you see that this is eating you up? That you can't get relief from it or peace because you're bringing it up in a negative way. You've got to let people go. You've got to let circumstances go. You've got to let all the justifications that you create in your mind of why you should be a certain way go. We've got to be good servants of the Lord. That's how we get through these times. They're turbulent times. The waters are going up over our head. It's like the waves are pulling us out into the ocean and we can't swim. And we're going, God, I'm drowning here. God hears our cries. He does. He hears our cries. And He wants for us to, number one, forgive, not have bitterness, not justify your sins. We're real good at that, or I am. I may be the only one, Pastor. I don't know. But sometimes it goes, well, because of what such and such happened, this is why I'm reacting to a problem. God will look at us and get our reaction and see how we handle a certain circumstance to see if we're doing what we need to do, to see if we're more Jesus-like than we were 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last week. We should be in such tune with God that we know, and we know in our knower, that God's going to get us through. No matter how bad this looks, God's going to get us through. God's got the answer. I am seeking God through this. I want to be faithful and be obedient during these times so God can bless the situation. What am I trying to see? What does He want me to see with my spiritual eyes? What is He trying to teach me? This is what's going to happen. Okay, I'm learning this. Don't get me wrong, I used to have terrible money problems all the time. I mean, when David died, he had no life insurance. Things were terrible. Got bad credit because I couldn't pay my bills. But ever since I started tithing regularly, God has always provided me with some money or always made a way out of bad circumstances, you know, where I needed money and I, you know, God worked it out where maybe I didn't need the money at that particular time or He provided the money somehow. But that, again, that's trusting God with the monies that's already God's. So whether you tithe or not, it makes a big difference with your finances. I can tell you, if you tithe, God will bless you no matter what. No matter what, He's going to bless you because you trust Him enough with your money to give Him that money, and He will see you through circumstances. So I didn't really mean to bring tithe into it. We've heard enough stuff about everything. But there's things that we can do to be obedient to the Lord. That's for sure. And when we have faith and we are obedient, that gives us the power, the Holy Spirit power, that power that God gives us to get through another day, that power that gets us through our sickness that we have, that power that gets through our finances another day, that power that gives me some love that I might have lost respect for with my spouse, or, you know, felt bad towards that person. He gives us the power to see the goodness in things. So, yes, bad times, absolutely. Becoming a Christian does not mean that you get the stamp of approval and everything's great. It doesn't mean that. Yesterday, I came to clean the church. I mean, I worked like a dog yesterday. I was hustling and bustling because I was supposed to meet Yvette, that's it, Isabella's parents, at UPS in Mesquite for notary. And so I got there and I sat and I waited on them. They were late. I waited on them to get in there. It was a line and they had an appointment. And I hustled so I could be there on time. And I was tired, my back hurt, I was fussy. I thought, God, it's okay. I got this. I want to do this for them. So we get there. The gentleman from UPS says, why are you here? And they said, well, because one of your staff members told us we had to have a witness. And he goes, no, I would be the witness. You know, he was, and I went, so let me see if I got this right. I'm busting up there at the church, not stopping even for a drink of water. I am mopping, I am taking trash, I'm doing everything. And I didn't really need to be here at all. But you know what? Did it get me down? No. Did it hurt me in any way to be there? No. Was it because I needed to? Maybe for them to see that no matter what I would be there for? Maybe. Did it ruin my day? No. You know, for some reason, I was supposed to be there. Maybe God was going to protect me from a wreck or something on the highway. I don't know. But you know what? It was okay. It's okay that they made a mistake. It's okay that they thought I needed to be there. It was all right. It was okay. It was in God's planning. So it was all right. And that's how we should look at things. If things happen, it's okay. It's okay. Because God's in control. So, again, let's quit telling God what he needs to do so he can make our lives better. He doesn't need us to tell him. He knows what our desires are. Our desires are to line up with his will, though. I can't desire to have a brand new Cadillac and that not be God's will. I cannot desire to have $100,000 in my bank account if that's not God's will. Wouldn't we all like that? You know, I even told God before, you give me $100,000, I will help such and such, and I will help this person. How silly am I? You know, God does not need us to tell him what to do. He's got it in control. If you're here today, God has a purpose for you. If you're breathing God's air, God has a plan for you. If you're here listening to my boring voice, God is trying to show you something, either with the singing or with the preachers preaching, whatever it is, God's in control. The sooner we get that in our minds, the better off we are. God doesn't need us to tell him what to do. God doesn't need us to tell him how we're going to react to something. Always try to find the good things that God's doing for you. Always look. I think people call the silver lining. Think of the things that God has done for you that are blessings. When we're lacking, think of the blessings. Think of the blessings that people in the church have given you. And I mean, this church is what, 60, going to be 66 years old? Think of all the blessings that this church has done. The many funerals, the many weddings, the many good times that this church has done for us. Think of the good things. If you have a washer and dryer at home, think of that as being a good thing, because going to a laundromat is difficult. loading that laundry up, putting it in the baskets and hangers and all that, and then loading it all back into your car and then loading it out to your house. If you have a dishwasher at home beside your husband, that's nice too. If you have things at home that bring you comfort and joy, be glad that you have those things. Those are blessings. If you're lucky enough to have a wonderful spouse, and sometimes you don't think it's a blessing. Be happy about that. Let's be happy of the things that we have in our lives so God can bless us even more. We are so blessed with so many people that love this church, that it has touched so many people's lives. David's life was cut short, yes, but he affected so many people in the community through peewee football coaching, through preaching, through his work. The man made a difference in people's lives. That's what we need to do, make a difference in someone's life. You can make a difference in someone's life this week by being nice, by being kind, extending more than what maybe you thought you needed to, by encouraging someone, by complimenting someone, by loving someone that's not so lovable at times. We all have things to be grateful for. And God, I don't think, likes it if we're constantly complaining. I know he didn't like it when I was doing it, and I still complain about it. Today even, I feel bad, I want to go home. And I know God's going, you're just fine, Priscilla, you'll be just fine. Doesn't like a complainer. If you're around a complainer, it brings you down. It's like, come on, you know? Yes, we need to love one another, listen to their complaints. And then we need to say, you know what, let's pray about this. God's got the solution. Let's pray about this. God's got the answer. Let's try to be grateful. A grateful Christian. A grateful person. A grateful person of God that wants to be nice and kind and to help one another. Help people outside this group. And I'm only talking about six, seven of us. Well, I can't count real fast. Six, seven. What we do here needs to extend out in our community. Just a smile or telling someone, you really look nice today. Whatever it is, let's do it. Let's make somebody happy. Let's encourage somebody. Let's pray for somebody. Whatever it is, as little as it is, it can make all the difference in someone's world. And when we, as Christians, it's because we're standing on somebody else's shoulder that lifted us up already. Let's be grateful. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that there's people in the Bible that weren't expecting tragedies to come along, but you've always worked them out, Father, for the good. Lord, help us to be appreciative. Help us to love you more and more each day. Help us to help other people. Be kind. Be polite, respectful. Help us not to judge. Help us just to love you with all of our heart. Help today that something that the preacher says will just break into our heart and it will make revelations in us. Lord, give us spiritual ears to hear you today. Give us the spiritual eyes to see you. Give us a spiritual heart that's open. And if we have broken hearts, please mend our hearts, Father. We love you, God. We truly, truly love you. And we give this day to you because you're so worthy to be praised. In Jesus' holy name, amen.